Welcome, everyone, to the Deep Dive. It's good to be with you as we explore some really vital sources and hopefully gain some valuable insights.
Absolutely. We're looking at something that I think resonates with, well, probably all of us that search for real inner peace, you know, authenticity.
Especially today. The world feels pretty chaotic sometimes, doesn't it? Finding that solid ground, that integrity, it's crucial.
It really is. And that's why we're turning to this message from Brother Steve. It was from Sunday, August 10th, 2025, over at New Life Benson.
Right. And this wasn't just a standalone sermon, was it?
No, not at all. It was actually lesson 34 in a much longer study they're doing on Matthew's discourses. So, you know, he's really digging deep here.
Okay. So our goal today then is to pull out those key insights about purity of your heart. What did Brother Steve mean by that? And maybe more importantly, what does it mean for us as believers trying to navigate, well, everything going on right now?
Precisely. How do we remember these truths? How do we apply them? Because honestly, this message felt incredibly timely, very essential for Christians in today's world.
I thought the way he started was quite beautiful. He opened with Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
Just that simple, powerful call. Give thanks, sing praises, declare God's love in the morning, his faithfulness at night. It really set a tone, didn't it? A tone of gratitude.
It absolutely did. And that gratitude, that's the foundation for hope, isn't it? He tied it straight into that old hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less."
Ah, yes. Well, on Christ the solid rock I stand.
Exactly. Our anchor holds. It holds in Christ no matter what storm is raging around us. And that's a truth we desperately need to cling to, especially, you know, in these challenging times. Our hope is secure.
That's a vital reminder. Okay, so let's get into the heart of it, Brother Steve's message on purity. He laid out three main points, and the first one, well, it might catch some people off guard.
Go on.
He basically said, you can't do it yourself. Achieving purity of heart, it's just not something we can accomplish on our own steam.
Right. That's fundamental. He used Proverbs 20, verse 9. It's posed as a question, really. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from sin.
And the implied answer is, nobody.
Nobody. He even brought in Jeremiah 13, or, you know, can the leopard change its spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? It's that ingrained. Our own efforts, even our best intentions, they just fall short without Jesus Christ.
He had that interesting comparison with Nike, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. The whole just do it philosophy.
Which works great for exercise, maybe, but not for spiritual purity. It contrasts so sharply with the need for divine help. It's not about just trying harder.
Exactly. It's not about self-reliance in this area, which actually leads perfectly into his second point,
which is
purity isn't earned through works, through our striving. It's received through faith.
Ah, okay. That's a big shift. He pointed to Acts 15.9 for that, right?
Yeah.
God purifies hearts by faith.
Yes. Simple but profound.
But faith in what specifically? That's the natural next question.
And he was very clear. It's faith in the blood of Christ. He referenced 1 John 1.7 that his blood cleanses us from all sin.
All sin.
All sin. Past, present. And he emphasized this. Even future sin for those who belong to God. This cleansing is what makes fellowship, communication with a holy God, even possible. Our sin creates a barrier otherwise.
He used an image from Zechariah too, didn't he?
Yeah.
About a fountain.
That's right. Zechariah 13. A fountain opened for cleansing. It's a powerful picture of God's provision for our impurity. And receiving that purification by faith, that's our only real hope for living with spiritual vitality in, well, in today's dark world.
Okay, so point one, we can't do it alone. Point two, purity comes through faith in Christ's sacrifice. So once we're saved, positionally pure, how do we live that out day to day? That's the practical bit, isn't it? And Brother Steve is quite open about his own struggles here.
He really was, and I appreciated that honesty. He stressed that the Christian life, quote, was never meant to be easy. It's not like purity just gets poured into you passively. It's something you have to actively, intentionally pour into yourself. He used analogies like a race or a wrestling match.
It requires effort, spiritual discipline.
Definitely. It demands our participation. And he gave us two key pillars for this daily pursuit.
Okay, what are they?
First, God's word. He quoted Jesus in John 15.3, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you."
So staying immersed in the Bible is crucial.
Absolutely essential. Everything we need for growing in purity, it's in there. It's our spiritual food, our guide.
And the second pillar.
Prayer. Simple but vital. Our ongoing communication line with God. Brother Steve reminded us how much God wants that communion with us. Think Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall.
Right. God desires that relationship.
He does. And he brought up Job 14.4, too. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. It emphasizes our dependence on God, even in the daily walk. We have to keep asking him, seeking his help.
He also made a point about priorities, didn't he? If a Christian feels impure.
Yeah, that was insightful. He said it often boils down to a skewed priority system. Maybe, you know, sin was here and Jesus was over here. The solution, get Jesus back in the center, realign everything around him.
So doing that, pursuing purity through the word and prayer. What are the results? What did that look like?
Well, the big one he mentioned is joy, real deep-seated joy.
And he described that joy as an allurement.
Yes, like it draws people in. When others see believers facing tough times, maybe facing the darkness of the world, but doing it with this underlying peace, this resilience, this joy, it makes them wonder. It points them towards Christ.
That makes sense. It's attractive because it's countercultural.
Exactly. And then, of course, the promise itself in Matthew 5.8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Okay, let's talk about that. They shall see God. What did Brother Steve unpack there?
Yeah.
That sounds huge.
It is huge. And he went into the Greek text a bit. He explained that it's not just talking about seeing God way off in the future, like only after we die.
Oh.
The grammar, he said, future indicative, middle voice reflective, suggests something more continuous, like continually seeing God for yourselves. It's an ongoing spiritual reality, a growing clarity of vision that starts now.
Continually seeing God. Wow. I have to admit, I usually thought of that as, you know, heaven, the end goal.
Many do. But Brother Steve shared some really powerful personal stories that illustrated this seeing God happening right here, right now.
Yes, conversion story.
Yes, back in 1991, Clovis, New Mexico, he described feeling God's presence so strongly, even as a sinner sitting way in the back, feeling that literal touch drawing him to the altar. That was seeing God, experiencing him directly.
And the story about the school.
Right, in 1994. Taking over that failing Christian school district, he felt totally inadequate, but he also felt this clear, undeniable call from God.
Mm-hmm.
And then witnessing the turnaround from 130 students to 350, building a $3 million campus, he was adamant, not because of me, because of the Lord. That's seeing God's hand at work in a tangible way.
You see God's provision, his power, in response to obedience.
Exactly. And then the third story, from 2008, leaving a secure ministry job in Benson to plant a new church.
That must have been tough, facing opposition.
He said some people were angry, yeah. But he felt God's call was clear. He compared his resolve to the Apostle John in Acts, basically saying, I've got to do what God wants me to do.
These stories really show God meeting us, guiding us, giving us strength to, well, as he put it, withstand the world.
They absolutely do. It ties into this concept sometimes called the beatific vision, not just the ultimate vision in heaven, but the increasing happiness and clarity we find as we see God more clearly in this life.
Like Job, after everything he went through.
Precisely. Job 42.5. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes see you. That purification process, though painful, cleansed the eyes of his soul, as Brother Steve put it. It made God visible to him in a new way. Purity allows us to perceive God amidst the circumstances.
So this seeing God now prepares us for the ultimate seeing later.
I think so. It points toward that incredible hope in 1 John 3.2. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, face to face. The pure heart longs for that. To see the King, as the hymn goes, that desire grows as we grow in purity.
And the clearer we see him now, the better equipped we are to live faithfully in, well, in today's world.
Couldn't agree more. That clear vision is vital.
So practically speaking then, how can someone listening gauge where they are? How do we know if our heart is moving towards this kind of purity? Did Brother Steve offer any kind of checklist?
He did, actually. Some very practical signs to look for, encouraging some self-assessment. First, he talked about integrity and sincerity, a real, genuine longing for what's right, being free from deceit in your heart, and authentic love for Christ.
Okay. Integrity, what else?
Second, a real hunger for greater purity.
Yeah.
Not being content with where you are spiritually. Even if you feel you're doing okay, there's this desire to be purer tomorrow than you are today. A dissatisfaction with any sin that remains.
So not complacency.
Definitely not. Third, flowing from that is a genuine hatred of sin. He referenced Psalm 119.10 for, I hate every false way. It's not just avoiding sin, but actively wanting to get rid of it, as he put it.
A proactive stance against it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fourth, love for others. He specifically mentioned fellow believers, but really, a growing love for all people. that outward love reflects the inward change.
Makes sense. And the last one?
A preoccupation with God. Just living in awe of him, worshiping him, longing to know his will and actually do it, making his glory the ultimate aim in everything.
Integrity, hunger for more purity, hatred of sin, love for others, and being preoccupied with God. That's quite a list.
It is. But that inner transformation, those are the things that really empower us to live, you know, vibrantly and effectively. Even when the world around us feels dark, it's about the heart changing.
As we wrap up, Brother Steve didn't just leave it there. He had a pretty direct call to action, didn't he, for everyone listening?
He did. For those maybe listening who haven't yet made that commitment, he pointed back to Romans 1 that deep down everyone knows God exists. The choice is whether to acknowledge him, to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior.
A simple prayer, he said. A fundamental choice, children of God or, well, the alternative.
Exactly. Aligning yourself with God's light or staying in opposition. And then for Christians who are struggling, who feel that impurity creeping in.
What was the warning there?
That impurity clouds our spiritual vision. It robs us of joy, of purpose. The call was urgent. Confess and repent.
And he made a distinction there, didn't he?
What?
Between confessing and repenting.
Yes, a crucial one. He said many Christians confess they acknowledge the sin, but they don't truly repent, which means actively turning away from it, getting it out of their lives. And that failure to repent is what blocks the spiritual sight, keeps the joy at bay.
So it's an ongoing process, this pursuit of purity.
Absolutely. And that leads to the final thought Brother Stev left us with, which I found really challenging.
Go on.
He said the difficulty often isn't making the initial decision for Christ. It's living that decision day in and day out.
The daily grind of faith.
Right. But, and this is the encouragement that ongoing pursuit of purity, that daily choice to live for him, is rewarded. God reveals himself more and more clearly to us,
enabling us to see him and therefore to reflect his light more effectively.
Exactly, to glorify him fully in a world that desperately needs to see him. So the question he kind of leaves us wrestling with is, how is my pursuit of purity today going to help me see God more clearly tomorrow? And what difference will that clearer vision make, not just for me, but for the people around me who are looking for hope in the darkness?
A powerful question to end on. Lots to consider there.
Definitely. A vital message for our times.